RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike D'Antilia along with the legendary Tyler. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road.
That's
here
right.
In Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit. Got some great food and drink specials here.
Yes, sir.
And got a late LSU game. Won't start until 8:15, so you got time to come here. Can watch some of the bowl games that are playing right now on all the screens that we have up. And if you're listening to LSU tonight, you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction.
That's right.
Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb is a different team than what we ended the season with opt-outs and guys deciding that they're going to throw their name in the transfer portal and maybe opting out of the games. I think we'll have the full list of the names as we get closer to game day.
But about 8:10 we'll get it.
Oh yeah, most likely. And I get it. And Monday night we had on with us Willie Fritz.
Yep.
And so everybody was asking me during the week, man, you know, what do you think is going to happen in this game? I said, I know one thing. I know one team that's going to come
ready.
Prepared.
That's right. It's going to be Houston.
I just heard it in his voice. Willie was, Mike, we got a chance to win 10 games. 10 games.
Yes.
And he said, that's big for us here at Houston.
Yeah.
To get to that 10th win. I knew exactly who had the focus. With LSU, there's a lot of moving parts happening with coaches, assistant coaches, players, everything else.
Flip-flops,
that,
switches.
That's not
switch.
The case at Houston.
No.
It's not the case at Houston.
No.
A very talented team that took to the woodshed one time by Texas Tech.
Yep.
And when I can understand that, the way they play defense. But it'll be interesting what LSU rolls out in this coaching change. And people was like, oh, man, when Coach O left, all these people opted out going here and there. Well, guess what? You're watching it again. In front of your very eyes. The exact same thing.
Part two.
Anytime there's a coaching change, there are going to be a lot of changes personnel-wise. A
lot of moving parts. So Willie Fritz, let's get back to him just for a quick second. You remember he was a coach at Tulane.
Yes, he was.
And so that means he was second tier to LSU every year that he was coaching at Tulane. And now he has an opportunity to come in with a really great team. All of his teams are always coached well, and they're going to be prepared. And he's got the right guys at the right positions playing the right kind of football at the right time, all the time. And so with that being said, for me, I think this is something personal for Willie Fritz, saying that, hey, guys, this is LSU coming into town, and I played second fiddle to them too many years, too long. Let me see if I can make something happen. And right now is a perfect time, because you got a dog coming in that's limping, and I mean limping bad. And so I get all the opt-outs with the guys that are not going to be playing, but it's exciting for me to see those younger guys that get an opportunity to play and see what they can do with live action, right, with the bullets flying around. For me, that's one of the most important things about the bowl games, which I never really understood. If a team, why would a team opt out of a bowl game? Not a person, but a team. That's different. So I'm really glad that LSU decided to play, which I figured they would. We don't opt out of anything. But the players that's not going to be playing today doesn't necessarily need to play tonight. I want to see those younger guys come in, flash some really greatness, make some mistakes, see how they handle making a mistake, and seeing what they can do moving forward. Because, look, right now, this is audition time for Lane Kiffin, right? For those guys.
And he's there watching.
Oh, he's been watching every practice.
He's there watching.
So I'd be surprised. What I want to see that we did not see against Oklahoma was the fact that what are we going to do different on offense? Like, anything different, what can we do? And let's not play to lose. Let's play to win the football game, and let's play to beat them, right? So I'm excited to see what that looks like. And on defense, we know what we're going to get. We're just going to have different players. And so hopefully these younger guys will come in and fly around the ball and be able to make some stuff happen. So, you know, you see a bunch of guys that are going to the NFL now too as well, that's opted not to play their senior year, if you will, and go to the NFL. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to open the doors up for plenty of other guys that's either behind them or the transfer portal, which is going to be huge for LSU moving forward.
January 2nd,
that's it.
It opens. Yep. And I was telling this to Charlie Long. Charlie gives us content. Come on. Because in the past, it was a little bit of content.
Yep.
Now, you see what all this change.
Yep.
And it's going to be a little bit like a dysfunctional family.
Yep.
People going from Ole Miss to LSU and LSU to Ole Miss.
That's right.
Because we've already seen it. Front office people.
Yep.
Assistant coaches.
Yep.
Okay, so you know it's going to happen with players also.
That's right.
One of the guys that Coach Fritz brought up tonight, and if you're looking for a tight end in the 2026 draft, I'm going to tell you, Tanner Kozol.
Okay.
And he's had a great story. He was a lightly recruited guy coming out of high school, 6 foot. He says he was 6'6 when he graduated. Now I think they measured him, and Coach Fritz told me he's a little over 6'7", tight end.
Yeah.
Plays 3 years at Bowling Green. Decides he's going to leave there, go to Wisconsin. Went to Wisconsin, stayed a short time there. Man, I don't like it here.
Yeah.
Coach Fritz kept recruiting him, even though he had picked Wisconsin over Houston.
Over Houston, mm-hmm.
So when he decided Wisconsin's not for me, he brought him in. And he leads the Cougars in receptions this year. And, it's hard to miss an overthrow on a 6'7" receiver.
But we've seen it happen before.
We have. But, man, they use him a lot.
Yeah.
Short, intermediate,
yeah.
Move the chains, in the red zone. Okay, who matches up with a 6'7" guy in the end zone?
Yeah, you don't have anybody.
to match up. And even
We might have one person.
Well, maybe DJ.
Maybe DJ. He's 6'5". The problem is he's only like a buck 36. You know what I'm saying? Soaking wet.
One thing with Pickett, he don't have a lot of meat on the bone.
No, but he got the height and he's got the ability.
Kozol, he's about 255 pounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's a solid inline blocker. That's not what, man, I would love to have him on an NFL team because of his size.
Yeah.
And his athletic. He was a former All-State baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
He was an all-district basketball player.
He played all.
He ran track.
Yeah.
Man, my thing is, with that resume, I know he's a good athlete.
Yep.
I can develop the other part of his game. So tonight, when you're watching Houston with the football, watch in these third down situations, Kozol.
Yep.
He's a guy that I think will be a top 100 pick.
Yep.
He'll be a second-day pick in the 2026 draft. But let's go to show you, it's not all homegrown, and we had this conversation Monday night with him that, man, in the city of Houston, look at all the people there.
There's a ton of people.
And even the surrounding areas.
That's right.
And he was, this is what I'm looking at in recruiting, 18 to 20 high school guys and about 10 to 11 guys out of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I still want to concentrate quite a bit in the high school ranks because they got so much talent all around him. Mm-hmm. And I get that part. And I think eventually that sort of number figure will be what you're looking at when you take a look at what down the line Lane Kiffin's going to be doing.
Yep. I agree with that. I think that you have to start off with the high school guys because somebody's going to sign them to a scholarship. So if you can get somebody that can come in and they're okay with sitting for a year or two and then they're in your system, you can develop them and get them to a place where they need to be. In that Houston area, really anywhere in Texas, you got a ton of talent that's going to – they can't go everywhere, right? And so a lot of those guys, those three-star guys and those two-star guys would go to a Houston and play and become a 3-4, a three-star or four-star guy after they've been developed. And so with that being said, and you got Coach Willie Fritz coaching you, I mean, you're going to be good because he's going to develop you. Now, on the other side of that with Lane Kiffin, I think Lane Kiffin's going to – I don't know if this year is going to be the year where he takes a lot of high school kids. I think he's going to try to get a lot of Louisiana high school kids. Now, I don't know what that number's going to be, but I do know for a fact that he's going to do everything he can to go in the portal and rebuild his team for next year.
Former Louisiana high school kids.
Correct. To bring them back from wherever they went to, Alabama, Texas, wherever they are, and try to get them to come back and lure them back. And I think in that, that's where he's going to build the 2026 team. And then, maybe have a couple of guys for 2027. And then that's, inside of that, he'll have those high school kids that he'll continue to bring in next year in 26 as well as 27. And we'll see how he's developing.
We've seen that quarterback in the past, Connor Wegman, who was at Texas A&M, one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks in the nation when he came out of high school.
Yep.
But he played the pivotal moment here with LSU because they got A&M on the ropes and only needs the knockout punch. And all of a sudden, he gets pulled. And here comes Reed. End of story.
Yep.
Changed Texas A&M.
Yep.
Season around has changed the A&M program.
Yep.
But it also kind of signaled the beginning of the end for Brian Kelly.
That's absolutely right. Because when Reed came in, we went to, for whatever reason, we could not stop a quarterback that could run the football. And that really opened everybody's eyes up when Reed came in. And so every year after that, those two following years, he was just Coach Kelly couldn't buy a stop from a quarterback running the football. And I don't know what that situation is. That's what I was going to say about – so Houston's tight end, they utilize him really greatly. The problem you got is I think LSU can defend that with scheme and with multiple players. If you can run the football at the quarterback position, that's when you get yourself a really great chance to beat LSU. And because I'm going to tell you, the defenses, they normally fly around the football. We don't know who's going to be on defense today. We have a good idea, but we don't know everybody's capacity and what their skill set level is. But we do know one thing. They're going to come with a motor because they got a coach in Blake Baker that don't play no games when it comes to motor.
He's got to go after Wegman because he did that against A&M.
That's right.
Now, their running back, Dean Connors, we were laughing about it because Coach Fritz was the first one to come up with the idea of Tulane Tuesday for us on WWL.
Really?
So he talked to me about it. I was like, well, I don't sign the checks. But I think we'll see if this can work here.
Yeah.
Man, it worked out great with Coach Fritz and everything. And one of the segments, he played Tulane played Rice. They had a running back named Dean Connors.
Yep.
He's from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know where he's at now? He's the leading running back for the Cougars.
For the Cougars. Hey, smart guy. He saw what this guy can do. He said, you know what? I need him on my team.
Well, his comment that day to me about, man, man, he's a load, Dean. Man, he runs hard, tough guy. He can block. He catch the ball coming out of the backfield. And then I saw it didn't take him long. He got him out of the transfer portal. Bang. Okay, you had Houston over here. This is where you're going to be. But he did say that we relied the first 2 years a lot on the transfer mm-hmm. portal. But he said we're going to make that little bit of a shift where it's not going to be 50-50, but it's going to be more like 60% high school, 40% transfer.
Yeah, if you can do that as a coach and you can keep those high school kids, you know, the remainder of their careers there, it would be really great. Now, you also have to take into account that you're going to have some guys that's going to hit the transfer portal and leave you. And so,
no matter what.
What do you do? Yeah, that's going to happen every year. And so it just depends, you know. And so it's so hard and difficult to hit on high school kids coming out because, you know, you just never know what you're going to get.
And every one of them think they can play.
Every last one.
Everyone.
They're supposed to be playing. In their mind, I should be playing day one when I step
on
the field.
Man, that guy ain't better than me.
That's right.
You know, it's
that's
one
right.
of them type deals.
Yeah, yeah. He's not better than me. I'm better than everybody else, and I guarantee I can go play anywhere else. And then, you know, and then you see the TJ
Finley
thing.
And you get conned.
Right?
You get conned a little bit into it.
Yeah.
But that's part of the recruiting process, re-recruiting your own players.
But what I do like about what Willie's talking about, though, he has a plan. It's not just this fly-by-night thing that, you know that some coaches have done in the past or will be doing moving forward. He has a plan, and his plan is set around that Houston area in the outskirts of Houston and touching Dallas.
To go too far.
No, and then you're going to touch, you know, you go touch Austin and these couple of other little places, and he's going to be fine. So I really do appreciate that from Coach Fritz.
And, man, he got so much respect for LSU talking about, man. Yeah. Okay, if their first-team guy isn't playing, they got a 4- or 5-star recruit that's the backup to that guy.
Right.
So he's like, hey, we better get ready. And he said, I'm telling them, despite the fact that they won't have that full team, you still play against elite athletes.
That's right, period. Because those backups, those second-team and third-team guys are hungry, too. And we've seen what some of them can do when they put them in the game, especially on the defensive front for LSU. You've seen some guys rotating in and out that's done a really, really great job for LSU this past year.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike D'Antonio along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be on until 6:15 tonight. We'll have more Tiger Tailgate right after this break.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Also want to tell everybody, you know, we're getting close to New Year's. If you have plans for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, you don't want to cook, get in touch with them here at Acme. They can do all the cooking for you.
Yes, they can.
And if you have any events, if it's a birthday or anniversary, something like that, man, yeah. Acme will take care of that for you. Just give them a ring. Herb, it's interesting how teams react now with so much movement. This is why the clock has got to be reset in college football.
Yeah,
with different coaches, different, you know, ability to move around. We see yesterday, okay, Coach Whittingham, this is supposed to be his last game at Utah. Okay, he got to tell team over there, hey, I'm the new coach at Michigan.
That's right.
I'm sorry, I won't be coaching y'all tomorrow. Somebody else will. And it puts everybody in sort of an awkward situation. But you know what? You're getting paid now. Everybody got representation. That's a John Sumrall line. He gave me that one. But everybody got representation.
That's right.
And so you almost got to take this as, you know what? You know, it's a job. I got to do what I got to do. And if I got any more eligibility, I want to showcase my skills. But bottom line is, I want to win.
Yeah.
If it's on the field, on the scoreboard, I want to win. And I think you see some pride sometimes gets kind of lost here. Man, we see Army today. They smoke UConn.
Yeah.
41-16. Man, it meant something to Army.
That's right.
It meant something to them. UConn, okay, Jim Moore, he's at Colorado State now and all this stuff. How these teams react to all this, because you're still dealing with young men 18 to 22 years old, I think is the big gamble. Especially if you're a gambler, you best be careful. This isn't Ole Miss versus Georgia.
No.
This isn't Alabama, Indiana. Those guys know what is on the line. But in these other bowl games, it's about pride, taking pride in your work.
That's what it's all about. That's any game, though, in my mind. Whatever game you're playing, whether it's the first game or the bowl game or the last game of the season, you have to play with pride. You have to take all of the distraction, all the white noise out of it, and you have to just concentrate on being a good teammate and being the best player that you can be, whatever the situation may be. And so when I look at what's happening and what's going on now this year specifically, it's a coaching carousel that is absolutely nuts, that's putting some of the players in, you know, in a bad situation. However, also, you have, you know, there's nothing that you can do about it because this is the rules, and this, you can only play within the rules and how it's structured. And so I do have to commend Tulane and Coach Summerall for allowing Coach Summerall to coach in that game, as well as Florida to allow him to coach in that game. And I think that was such a huge moment to show some solidarity to the kids and the players to say, yep, we're going to at least try finish what we started and give them the opportunity to win the game and be as the best that they could potentially be. Now, again, they were outmatched by Ole Miss, and everybody knew what was going to happen. It happened 8 weeks prior to that, right?
But what we didn't know is how Ole Miss would react to every – man, you talk about caught in the vortex of the tornado.
Yeah.
You have your head coach leave. You got assistant coaches leaving.
Yep.
How the young men reacted, and Archie Manning was telling me this, how, you know, Pete Golding's bond with that team really – I think solidified them that, hey, we playing for us. This isn't about Coach Kiffin. It isn't about the guys that won't be here. But we playing for us today.
Well, the other thing, too, other piece to that is, let's remember, the only coach I think that wasn't on the sideline was Lane Kiffin.
Was Lane.
Everybody else was on the sideline, and they were practicing with him and everything else. So they really didn't lose anything, or the change wasn't as impactful as people made it out to be. Now, don't get me wrong, Coach Kiffin is the main guy, but what he's done, though, to lead up to that game was only, what, 5 or 6 years of creating and building that team and that university to what they needed to be in that program. And so all they did was kept doing the same stuff over and over that they would do. Don't get me wrong, there's a little bit of psyche that comes into play, but hey, man, we're in the playoffs. Like, this is the playoffs.
You lose, you stay home.
You lose, you stay home, and this could be your only opportunity to get in the playoffs. And so, and you're playing against a team that you've already beaten 49-10 previously, and so you know you kind of overmatch them. You know what they have and what you have. And so that's why I think that game was so critical for Ole Miss, that really nothing changed. Now you got to go to Georgia, or you come to New Orleans and play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And you know what happened when y'all played Georgia?
We watched that game. We were doing pregame for LSU.
Yep.
And every time we put our head up while we're doing the show, somebody was scoring.
Yep.
So it was no defensive game. You took the over on that. You did good.
You did good
in that game. But, you know, you got to stop Georgia somewhere. And that day, they could not stop the Bulldogs. Now, I will say this. The Bulldogs' defense didn't do a good job stopping their offense either. But when they had to, Georgia had the critical points in the fourth quarter to win that game.
Yeah, now, and here's the thing. Georgia has everybody intact on their coaching staff. They got every player that started the season off with as well. And so they have some sense of normalcy going into this game. And then they've already beaten Ole Miss. Does that mean anything? Not necessarily, because of how they beat them. But I do think that Georgia's a different team today than they were when they played against Ole Miss. I think they're stronger defense. I think they have a lot more continuity on defense where they can feel really proud about themselves. And I think that running game is finally starting to hit and be a typical Georgia running game. Because I don't think Gunnar Stockton is the way you win that game. Now, if I'm Ole Miss, I'm going to try to force Gunnar to win the game. But I don't know if they can actually do that, because I think Georgia's offensive run game will be really, really tough for Ole Miss to stop. Now, with that being said, we're going back to the coaching carousel.
Can Georgia stop Trinidad Chambliss?
That's right.
And they got the hammer.
They can't.
With Kawan Lacy. They couldn't stop that either.
Let me say this. When I watched that Ole Miss game, it looked like everybody was getting hurt in that game. I'm like, so who's going to be available come, you know, the next round?
Well, I think everybody went to Lord's and got treated.
They went somewhere.
They got the holy water sprinkled on them.
They got them, and they're good to go. So with that being said, they're still and look, I don't know what was going on in that game. That was some craziness. But Georgia's going to be coming after them much harder than what Tulane did. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to withstand or hold up against them. But because if you put them in the right situation, meaning Ole Miss, and you get Georgia on their heels, Ole Miss is probably going to score as many points as they want to score. But you have to stop Chambliss, and I don't think they can actually stop him. I think they can slow him down. But I don't think that Ole Miss can slow down Georgia's offense.
So we had John Forcade on a little over a week ago, and I was telling, man, the guy that reminds me of Chambliss, I said, I do Saturdays with him, Herb Tyler. I said, Herb always told me, if I was running that offense in today's world, I would look just like Trinidad Chambliss. So 4K tells me, Mike, if I was running that offense and could do what they have him doing, I would look like Chambliss.
That's right.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're here at 3535 Perkins Road, Acme Oyster House. Come on by and visit us, and we have a lot more Tiger Tailgate right after this break.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike, to tell you along with Herb Tyler, it's our Inside the Tiger Den segment, and it's brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Have on with us, was going to say talking text line, but he's here. Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, and glad to see you here at Acme again. And, man, what a difference just a few weeks makes.
Yeah.
Player-wise, coaching-wise, everything-wise. The one thing I can say about Houston, I told Herb the story that we had on Willie Fritz, and he was like, Mike, everything is normal here. Everything's the norm. And he got a chuckle out of it. I knew what he was going with it in that spot. And so are you like everybody else sort of wondering what LSU team's going to show up here tonight?
I think you're going to see a team that's going to give full effort. Whether there's execution there or not, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You have guys that are certainly trying to put some more good play on tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially considering your 4 offensive linemen that have entered the transfer portal, but all of them are going to play. Ahmad Bro's going to play. He's in the transfer portal.
Yep.
A little bit different than it was in 2021 because when those guys went in the transfer portal, the portal was open in December as opposed to January. So once they went in, they didn't play in the bowl game. So LSU is actually, when I was writing my preview piece for WWL.com, I looked at them. I'm like, they're actually not in that bad of shape.
Right.
Now, they don't have 6 starters on defense.
No.
But they will have some guys that I think will have an opportunity to either impress the new coaching staff or if they decide to go in the transfer portal, a chance to, again, put some more good tape on film, guys like Jarden Gilbert, Devon Keys, Tylan Singleton, guys like that. So it is a big game. LSU's playing football. When it's July 27th, we'll be wishing there's an LSU football game on. So I think we need to watch it.
I agree. Oh, the offensive line, Kerryus Kern, that'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Because it's been sort of a little bit of a flip-flop with him. I was surprised with Tyree. I thought he was a guy that probably was going to stay. I like the way he could pass protect. Yeah. Now, again, as a run blocker, he needed some work there.
Yeah.
But, man, he's a damn good pass protector. But in today's world, man, we shouldn't be surprised with any movement.
No.
Anybody.
He's a Frank guy, too. Like, let's not be.
Yes.
Right. You're right.
That is
St. Augustine. It's just weird that it comes out the day of the game.
Yes.
Like, why couldn't you wait the next day? Or I don't know how all this is really transpiring. I don't really blame. I mean, if you're not, you know, a big-time star or making a bunch of NIL dollars, I don't know why you want to get into the transfer portal every year.
At least take a look.
Just to see what's going on, especially.
Yeah, just because you're in it doesn't mean you have to move.
Right.
Yes, right?
Especially in a coaching transition where, you know, everybody, you know, I could see, you know, if the coach, like Willie Fritz, it's well-established, or at least 2 years anyways, that's well-established in today's college football. But because there is just so much of flux here, why don't you just go in there and who knows? Maybe Lane watches the tape and says, you know what? We want to keep you at all costs.
Yeah.
And then you just decide, okay, I take your name right back out.
One of the things Coach Fritz brought up was the fact that players will change and they may not have some players, but he said, you know, we're not talking about 2- and 3-star recruits here. We're talking about all these guys that are the backups.
Yeah.
They 4,
right.
5-star recruits. And he talked about what jumped out on him, film, size. Because he said, we don't play in the Big 12 guys along the offensive, defensive line with the size that LSU has. But he said, we don't play them weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he played them when he played against Texas Tech. That wasn't too good for Willie and the Cougars.
Yeah.
But he said that jumped out at him was the size of LSU.
Well, and we've talked about it, though, I guess, with the focus on the offensive line. You know, we thought, hey, the Western Kentucky game, for instance, this is a game for LSU where they should be able to run the football. They struggled against Tech,
That wasn't too good.
So I don't know if LSU can win. I mean, I think on the defensive side of the football they could, and Houston doesn't have its starting center. But I don't know, you know, if LSU run, I'm not anticipating LSU to go out there and run for 180 yards tonight.
Jeff,
I mean,
Jeff. This is the game. This game tonight. Yeah.
Herb, how much money you want to put on this?
If it doesn't happen tonight, it's not going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. That's right.
It ain't going to happen the rest of the games of the season, right? But one of the things here is about some of the freshmen getting an opportunity and I heard Coach Frank talk about LaRon, the Francis.
Yeah.
That
Teron Francis.
Yeah, Teron Francis. Getting him an opportunity to get some playing time. Now, he saw a little bit during the season, but I think he's trying to tell you something about Francis.
Yeah.
When he brings his name up. And he's the guy I know, other guys I know, Coach Hankton. He had talked to me during the summer. I think we got something here,
Mike. I would think there's going to be 2 or 3 guys that are going to pop tonight that have not played all year or have played sparingly, maybe 2 or 3 games. Of course, the bowl game doesn't count towards whether you're redshirting or not, so it's free game. Everyone can play, and I think that's what I'm hoping that you see, that there are some guys. A Teron Francis is a guy that I think would be really good, great if he could see something out of him, because you're losing a lot of these wide receivers. You know, Marion Brown's moving on. Aaron Anderson's already moving on.
Yep.
Bauer Sharp's going to be moving on, I suppose. I know he's a tight end, but, you know, still, there's a lot of guys here. And I think what LSU has really missed since 2023, and I think Aaron Anderson was great last season, so I don't want to really take anything away from him. But they really have missed that dynamic receiver. I mean, it seemed like they had such a great run there, obviously with Jamar Chase and then Kayshon Booty. And then you move into the Malik Neighbors and
Brian Thomas
and
Jr.
And Brian Thomas Jr. And the last couple of years, it's just been been void of that a little
Chris
bit.
Well, Chris Hilton was supposed to be that guy, right?
Yeah, this was the game last year that he had a really good game. And was like, all right, he's ready to have a big 2025. And it just never happened.
He's still in the witness protection agency.
It's kind of like the run game, right? It's going to happen tonight, okay, guys? It's going to happen tonight.
So, well, I hope so for Chris.
I agree. I don't
because you got no
that.
More eligibility left.
No,
right.
you don't.
It's gone.
You don't. Now, the other thing, too, the other piece to that is this year's offense just literally was non-existent.
Yeah.
And when I say offense, I mean the creativity, the identity, you know, who are we? What are we going to do? Who are the actual top players? And we showed nothing. And then Nuss apparently was hurt for half the season, if not the whole entire season, and that affected him greatly. So, I mean, what do you do?
What I would hope tonight, this is it, right? We're all, you know, joking about it, but this really is it. They just let it rip. Let's see him throw the ball deep a couple times.
Who cares what happens at 12 midnight tonight, right? Who cares, right?
Just I mean, play the game. Go back to the Oklahoma game. It was so much lateral action in the passing game.
Terrible.
And you know, Lane Kiffin, however that story ever came out, where I don't think he was joking. He was saying, who came up with that game plan against Oklahoma?
I agree. That's the same question.
No.
Who didn't come up with it?
He texted me that during the game. I didn't need Lane to tell me. No. He texted me that during the game.
Right. So let's see them just let's see Michael Van Buren take a five-step. Well, I guess a lot of things in shotgun, but whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Let's see him launch some passes downfield.
Okay. What happens if Van Buren gets hurt?
Juwan Johnson.
Well, not necessarily.
So we ain't throwing a lot of passes to you.
No, guys. Don't forget, they called me a couple weeks ago.
And you ain't got no more eligibility left. You ain't got no more. You're like, hey, man.
Yeah, that's all right.
You ain't got no more eligibility left. But that would be something that I'm sure they've worked on in practice.
I'm sure they have.
With Juwan, who also has a decision to make.
Yes.
On exactly kind of where he wants to steer his career. I've always felt, now you saw him in high school, so did I. We got Ian Oze in here. He saw him a lot in high school. My thing is, what the hell was the deal of putting him at defensive back?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't know. And I remember Brian Kelly, I think it was, so that would have been the spring of 2024, saying, we got this ultra-talented kid, but we don't know exactly how to use him.
Well, I didn't like to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, he threw out a lot of, well, the guy can probably return kicks. He can play slot receiver. He can do this. He can do that. We just don't know where to put him.
So you do nothing, right?
Just holding on to playing defensive back.
Yeah.
Right. So wasted a year.
It sounds eerily similar to what they were trying to figure out with Howard Perkins as well, right?
Right, yeah.
The same thing. And Brian Kelly, I think that was one of his demises, was the fact that he never really truly, in my opinion, trusted his instincts or the people around him to help him make the decisions. Because you got a player in Juwan Johnson that, at the very least, put him at quarterback and let him run some really cool package for you.
Read option
whatever,
stuff.
Well, anything. He can throw the football, too. That's crazy.
I mean, the media got to see a lot of preseason camp, and I don't think that'll happen during Lane Kiffin. But
no. I'm fixing to tell you. You thought Coach O was bad about that. Man, Lane is even worse than Coach O'Dron.
He got it from Nick Saban, so let's not forget that.
No, they got that from Pete Carroll.
They all kind of gradually
went that way, like Pete used to do.
But in preseason camp, there was a lot of wildcat with Juwan Johnson.
And we saw none of that.
It was supposed to be the red zone, and it was just amazing.
Why are you practicing it?
And then they never used it. Absolutely never used it.
No, but I hate to break it to y'all, but you're not going to get a lot of looks.
But you know what? Tonight, okay, guys, tonight that Wildcat is coming out. I promise you.
It might.
I have no idea what's going to happen. What I anticipate is what happened against Oklahoma, right? The same offensive game plan, because I have nothing else to go off of.
Right.
I know Lane was on the sideline during practices and things of that nature, but how much information is Lane going to give to Frank when Frank is going to Ole Miss, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but at the end of the day, I do know LSU has a bunch of plays in their playbook. Use them.
Yeah, I would. I think you empty it all out here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Harlan Berry, I'll be the last question for you. We got to go to break, but I think he's one of the guys. Along with Tre'Davious Green, Pickett certainly is another guy.
Oh yeah.
That you want to keep here, and there's pretty decent NIL money involved with all of them. But for me, I think if you were looking at making a run toward Kawan Lacy, who's a different style runner completely from Harlan Berry, I think for Harlem, I think he realizes the situation he's in. If I stay here, I want to impress my coach that I can be the number one guy. And they got a lot of peeping eyes watching tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a big game for both Harlem and Caden. And then the other thing with the whole Kawan Lacy, and what we've seen at Ole Miss anyways, at least the last couple of running backs, it's not like how it's been at LSU where four or five guys are going to play running back during the course of the game. They go with one guy, whether it was Kawan Lacy,
Junkins.
I mean, they have it seems like that is Lane is certainly somebody that works with this personnel, and he's going to – but the last couple of years, he's gone with this is my primary back, and the backup is truly the backup, and he might only get four or five carries, if that.
And I don't have a problem with that. I think one of LSU's problems this past couple of years –
they never could figure it out.
They never could figure out who is the prime guy.
Okay, I'm going to give you an Ed Orgeron comment when I asked that about, you know, kind of if Lane – and this was before he really actually took over – I was like, he's primarily a one back guy. He's like, yeah, but T boy, he wasn't like at USC. We had Lindale White and we had Reggie Bush. He's like, man, both them guys are getting carries. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, right.
And he said, okay, you didn't have that luxury at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He didn't have that.
Right.
But he does think that if he had those guys, he said, if you think he runs the ball now, wait till he would have two backs like that. Because he said, that's what we did at USC.
Yeah.
We hung our hat on Lindell, and we'd give Reggie a break. Then we'd put Reggie in. Then he said, sometimes we had dual backs.
Yeah.
And he said, man, you'd see those defenders, the eyes, said, like big saucers, like, man, what the world's going on with this? And he said, we didn't do a lot out of it. But he said, man, you talk about confusion, we had it there. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Our Inside the Tiger Den segment with Jeff Palermo is brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on down and visit us here. We have an 8:15 kickoff time for LSU, so you got time to come here. Got a lot of great food specials, drink specials here. Also, to remind you, as we get closer to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, if you don't want to do any cooking, give them a call here at Acme. They can take care of that for you. Also, for special occasions, if it's birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, you name it, you can give them a call here at Acme, and they can take care of that for you. Leave the cooking going on here at Acme Oyster House. Also, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Build Beyond Map Construction. Herb knows a little bit about Map Construction, and Herb, y'all, I know busy time for y'all guys, huh?
It's been busy. You know, this is really more the slow time for my group on during the December month and the January month, because everybody's taking off, and so you got different things that are happening, and so people are not open, things of that nature. But on the maintenance side and on our construction side, we're always busy. So we have longer projects that last, you know, 6 months to a year and a half.
No question about it.
Yep.
We're going to go to our talk and text line. This is our Tiger Scout Notebook, and it's brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on the patients and patient care. On our talk and text line from Locked On SEC, and I think he's in line getting credentials right now. Chris Gordy. Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man. We interrupted your in-line deal getting them credentials at the Texas Bowl.
Nah, man. It's about 30 people in line, so I got as much time as you guys need.
Oh, well, 30 nice. People tonight. Oh, you're going to be there after this interview's over. I'm just telling you right now. Chris, we talked about this in the earlier part of the show, is kind of what you expect from this LSU team. And it's the big question mark. I know what I think I'll get from Houston. Everybody's sort of intact. I know their starting center it won't play in this game, but they look like they're going to roll out everybody. And so LSU got to strap it on. But this is always, to me, in these bowl games, the way it's played today, sort of off-Broadway
yep.
to January 2nd. And that's when you're going to be in the big-time stage because
yep.
the transfer portal hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part is, you know, seeing a lot of purple and gold out here outside NRG. I mean, there's a lot of LSU fans that made the trip because it's an easy trip. It's a short trip to make over here to Houston. But, you know, kind of the vibe talking to a lot of people out here is, you know, we're ready for Friday. We're ready to turn the page and get this season over with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this game means a little bit more to Houston than it does LSU. I mean, Willie Fritz, you talk about year two here and already turning the program around, a chance to put a cherry on top with a 10th win would be huge for his program. For LSU, I mean, look, you win, you lose, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to have much bearing on who stays or who goes or what next year's team is going to look like. So I think you're just trying to get through this game. But there was a little mishap the other night, and they had both teams at a function for the bowl game, and they were both singing karaoke songs, and apparently the LSU fans LSU players, a few of them, were mocking some of the U of H players on you know, their size. And so, you know, that a little bit of extra spiciness, I think, heading into this one.
Hey, you bring that up, and I was telling this to Jeff Palermo. We had Coach Fritz on Monday. And when I asked him, I said, what's the thing in looking at LSU? He's like, two things. One, their second string guys all 4- and 5-star recruits. So he says, it's not like we're going up against 1-star athletes, 0-star athletes coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, he brought it up about the size difference. And he said, Mike, I'm telling you, we don't see teams with this sort of size. Like you said, now Texas Tech was a different animal. It was different. They look like an SEC team. But he said LSU size and athleticism jumps out at you. Yeah. And that you bring that up, that kind of fits hand in hand with what Coach Fritz said Monday to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think this tonight is going to be a lot about the want to, right? Does LSU want to be here? Do some of these players want to play with effort? And if they do, yeah, I mean, I think this offensive line can get a push. I think you could see guys like Caden Durham and Harlan Berry getting some good yardage. And to me, we're going to know early on. If LSU can run the football, they're going to perhaps be the team that can be the bully tonight. But if not, again, U of H and Connor Wegman, they want to establish their offense very early. And if they get up early, I just don't know the way this LSU team's built right now with Michael Van Buren, if they're a team that can play from behind.
One of the things in this game, we're going to see two unique tight ends in Tre'Davious Green, and then you look at Kozel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Coach Fritz talked to us about Tanner and kind of his ride at Bowling Green. Then he goes to Wisconsin for a short deal, and he said, we never stop recruiting him. And then he decides, Wisconsin's not for me. I want out. And he goes to Houston in the kind of season he's had. I mean, I don't think you'll see another bowl game with 2 6-foot-7 tight ends.
No.
No, you won't. And if you remember, this game last year was the game that Tre'Davious Green played a big role in when they beat Baylor. You know, he was wide open in the end zone about every time they get down there. So, you know, I think both of those guys could be a big impact today. I've been told by a couple people throughout the year that they think that Houston's tight end is one of the best in the country. So, yeah,
I agree.
I'm circling two guys to watch tonight. It's certainly both tight ends on both teams.
What do you think will happen? Because between LSU and Ole Miss, it's like a dysfunctional family between the two of them. Okay, they have already administrators going from Ole Miss to LSU, LSU to Ole Miss. We see the assistant coaches, same sort of thing. And you think that's bad, wait till January 2nd hits, and then the players – start to kind of swing back and forth. I would suspect that, Chris, they're going to have a lot of movement just between Jackson and Oxford, so to speak, and Baton Rouge with players.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's the pettiness is in full effect. You know, there's yeah. there's a lot of Ole Miss fans and people with money that are pissed off, and they're mad that Lane left them, and they want to kind of slap LSU in the face. It's funny that every time news has come out on social media of a different LSU player intending to enter the portal, there's Ole Miss accounts just picking up, going, "See, nobody wants to play for Lane. Nobody wants to play for Lane." So they're jumping on this thing, and I'm telling you, I mean, it's going to get into a bidding war for Kiwon Lacy, the running back. There's been reports that Ole Miss is offering him around $1.8 million. LSU's going to have to go upwards of $2 million to get him. So this thing's going to be really fascinating. But you're right. I think we're going to have multiple players in the double digits going from Ole Miss to LSU and vice versa from LSU to Ole Miss.
One of the things that's different between college and pro football, they pay running backs pretty good at the collegiate level.
They do, but not
in the NFL.
Not in NFL,
it's a little bit different situation. But they value that top running back a lot more than most NFL teams do. Goes to show you how, while the games sort of mirror one another in a lot of ways, that's one factor that's different.
Oh, there's no doubt. And, I mean, it. Look, you know, Kiwon Lacy, to be, an all-SEC running back and one of the best in the country, he and Ahmad Hardy at Mizzou, who we're going to get to see tonight as well. I mean, to me, they're two of the best in the country, yet, you know, do you need to pay that much? You know, LSU may look at it and say, you know what, $2 million is a little bit too much to invest in just one player, that you might be better served keeping a Harlan Berry and maybe going and getting another running back from a different school and kind of going running back by committee. So, yeah, it's changed, man. I mean, you know, Ash Jeti was one of the best in college football last season, and look at what he's doing with the Raiders. He's had some nice games, but it doesn't translate to wins at the next level, and, you know, it feels like the NFL is really trending away from those high draft pick running backs these days.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about a bunch of offensive guys over at LSU this particular game. We're trying to figure out what kind of offense are we going to see. Are we going to see the same offense that came out against Oklahoma?
I hope not.
Which was the same offense that was weeks previous to that. Or are we going to see something different? And then the other question in that, Chris, is do you, like, if something happens to Van Buren, do you anticipate Juwan Johnson coming in and playing quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, the walk-on kid is supposed to be the backup quarterback. Look, I think they need Van Buren to be healthy tonight. But even if he is and he's the quarterback the whole game, I don't think they're going to have very much success unless they're running the football. So don't expect an aerial attack. And, you know, like Nussmeier was in this game last year against Baylor throwing for 300-plus yards. I don't think we're going to see that out of Van Buren tonight.
What do you think will be the top for me? I think everybody wants to see what happens with Trinidad Chambliss. And we'll figure out with Lacy, because I think the money's going to get involved one way or another. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't offensive line be the big target area for LSU come January 2nd?
Well, that's the fascinating thing that's happening right now, Mike, is all the names on this that are starters on this LSU offensive line that are intending, you know, announcing their intentions to enter the portal. That it's just becoming like, okay, well, if these guys don't, you know, aren't staying, are they being told that they're going, that they need to go elsewhere, or that they need to, are they being told that they're going to get some more money from NIL? And, you know, that's going to be the fascinating part. Maybe Lane Kiffin has his eyes on some different players that they want to get, and they're telling these current guys, look, you're not good enough. You're not going to start here. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the dominoes fall. But, yeah, I've seen most LSU fans, though, being realistic about it, saying, look, Tyree Adams, Terrius Kern, we love you, but no offense, we weren't exactly very good on the O-line. So if you want to head elsewhere, hey, best of luck. We'll find somebody better.
Going to the SEC teams that are still breathing at this point in the playoff system, you know what? A lot of people think Indiana will take the belt off and spank the backside of Alabama. Chris, I don't see that.
I don't see that either.
I think this game is a shot for Alabama here. And, man, when you haven't played in almost a month, that's a long time that you haven't played. And I do think Ole Miss has a shot there against Georgia. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, first off, with Alabama, I've had several people tell me they think it's wrong team favor, that they think Alabama is going to be the more physical team, and Fernando Mendoza is going to see you know, one of the better defenses that he's seen this year. Kane Womack, I mean, that Bama defense has really gotten better on the back stretch of the season. Now, the offense was what was struggling, but, man, they didn't seem to have much trouble there in Norman from the second quarter on. So, you know, momentum shifted big time in that game, and that builds confidence. I mean, that Bama team's going into Pasadena feeling good about themselves. You know, Ty Simpson, I saw today, said, we got the mantra of nobody believes in us. Nobody believes in Alabama. So that's a dangerous team and a dangerous attitude to have. And keep in mind, Kalen DeBoer has had postseason success when he was at Washington. He knows how to handle, you know, this level. So we'll see on them. And to your point with Ole Miss, man, I've talked to so many Rebel fans who are making that trip down to New Orleans. I would not be shocked, guys, if it's 65-35 Ole Miss fans in the dome that night, maybe even more.
Oh, so, I think I more. Mean, I think it's more 70-30.
Yeah, I mean, don't let Ole Miss get a lead and get momentum in that game. I mean, those players will start believing it, and they want nothing more than to stick it to Lane Kiffin and prove that they don't need him here. So,
and in Louisiana.
I said to some people, I said, this might be Pete Golding's only good run ever at Ole Miss. He might have multiple playoff wins here and then go 6-6 the rest of his career, but it's all about this run right now for them.
Yeah, I think you can only win the championship in the year you play
that
in.
That you're playing in, that's right.
You can't worry about what happens. Now, you worry about it when the portal hits and everything else, but I do think that they have a team piece together that I think Georgia doesn't like to go against, and that is a team that can put points up and match point for point. And with Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback, and you got that big hammer running back in Lacey, and those receivers are really good. You better get in a track meet if you're going to beat Ole Miss, points-wise.
Well, I hope they sent a Christmas card, though, to LSU and said thank you again for Charlie Weiss and Joe Cox and the rest of those coaches because, I mean, that offense looked like it didn't miss a beat there. And, again, Lane Kiffin was the architect, but, you know, he doesn't have to be there in-game. It's all his assistants. They've done this all year. They know how to run the offense. And to your point, yeah, Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, look, the article the other day on ESPN said he may not get a 6-year of eligibility. So this might be it for him. He's going to want to leave everything he's got out on that football field, and I think we're going to see a great effort from Ole Miss.
Are you surprised with as many changes that are happening today at the University of Texas with the Longhorns, player-wise? And then, you know, Will Muschamp as a defensive coordinator is one thing. But, man, they've got a lot of people in the portal also.
Yeah, that move is just fascinating to me on Muschamp.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had several people say, okay, they're not going to get better defensively. They might just be just as good with him getting rid of Pete Kwiatkowski. But to me, you know, all the Texas fans were complaining about the offense all year, that it was the offensive side that was inconsistent. Now Arch Manning got better as the year went along, and I think he's going to look really good in this bowl game against Michigan coming up in a couple days. But yeah, it was kind of a head-scratcher for a lot of folks around the country saying, well, I thought Texas' defense was pretty good. And statistically, the past two seasons under Pete, they were one of the best in the country. So we're going to see what happens. I mean, they have a ton of guys entering the portal. In fact, C.J. Baxter and Trey Wisner, their two starting running backs, are heading to the portal. There's a lot of momentum guys building towards Jaden Baugh, the Florida running back who was the third leading rusher in the SEC this year, that he might be a guy who ends up over there in Austin before it's all said and done. And with Jabbar Jalouk heading over there, that might just happen.
Yeah, it could well be. I know Coach Summerall didn't do too well with the quarterback keeping him because he's in the portal also.
Yeah.
But, man, but to lose Ball, that's a different story there because he was their hammer guy too at Florida. Man, he's one hell of a back. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Man, we'll let you get your credentials and everything. Have a great seat.
Yep.
Hope it's a better seat than you and I had for the national championship game, LSU Clemson.
Well, I'll be down there for the Sugar Bowl, Mike. So if you're around, I'll say hello.
Oh, okay. We'll meet up then. Thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All righty.
All right.
That was our Tiger Scout Notebook, and is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on the patients and patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock and his great staff at Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. We come back, we'll have more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here
in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials here. Got a short segment before we go to Tracy Coley, who will join us to talk LSU football. But I think one of the things is, and we talked a little bit about the difference in the running game and how the value. Man, receivers, they got them all over. Every once in a while you might see a big-time receiver get cut loose. But, man, the money now is really at running back at college football. And you see it today where, man, they paying pretty good money for a top-flight college running back. And that's why Kawan Lacy is really going to cash in here. And, you know, reports are anywhere from $1.5 to possibly even $2 million a year on an NIL deal.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's worth it. Let me say that. Yes, he's a great player. I'm not saying he's not. He had a great season this season. I don't know how that translates to him transferring to LSU, who's questionable at best at the offensive line. Right now, we don't know who's going to be what. So for him, it just depends on, you know, where he ends up and if it's worth it. For LSU, here's the thing I'm going to say about LSU. The biggest back that we've gotten as far as star ratings concerned in a while has been Harlan Berry.
No question.
Before that, the last couple, 3 or 4 years, it's, I mean, some random people that, you know, don't get me wrong, they have decent abilities, but we haven't had that staple of running backs like we used to have prior to 2019.
And you think about Fournette and then Darius Geis.
That's right.
What?
Right, and then guess where they were from? Louisiana. They wouldn't have to go out in all these Texas and Chicago or Michigan or wherever to go get. I don't know what BK was thinking about. I don't know what Franklin was thinking about as well when it was doing that recruiting. Man, we got to keep these guys. The best backs and the best receivers come, in my opinion, come from Louisiana. And every now and then you'll get a couple of offensive linemen that's going to come out and play really well for you. But you got to keep that, you know, those skill position guys in Louisiana. You got to keep them in state, and you make it happen. And then that's the thing I think. I think that Harlan Berry is not the biggest guy, but he has a great opportunity to be really great if the scheme and the offensive game plan that he's, you know, working within fits him. And I think it does when you add Lane Kiffin to it, because he's going to throw the ball to the back out of the backfield. He's going to put the back in a really good position for screen plays. He's also going to run the football, meaning they're going to teach their offensive line how to actually, you know, run block. LSU, it was the most astonishing thing that I've heard in a long time when they said that LSU was not, the offensive line wasn't pushing the sled around. I'm like, well, what do you mean not pushing the slate around?
They haven't pushed that since Coach Kelly took.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you doing? Where'd you get this from?
That wasn't the case at Notre Dame.
No, it wasn't the case.
It was a conveyor belt of offensive linemen coming out of there.
That's right. So I know somebody was telling them to push the slate or push something, push snow, push tires, push something, do something. And that's the thing that was really disappointing, you know, as far as LSU in the run game is concerned, is that we just – it made those offensive linemen look like they had no idea what they were doing and they weren't good. And I cannot believe that those guys don't have the individual talent to be great together as a unit. I just don't believe that Brad Davis did a good enough job of making those things happen.
That I agree with.
And developing those guys. And then I also think that we did a poor job when we let Danbrock go. Coach Danbrock went back to Notre Dame. If you look at our offensive production, it went straight to down the toilet. Let's call it that. And I think that was a huge mistake, letting him go. And so what you see now is the effects of that, or what you've seen this year is the effects of that.
I go back to what Coach Orgeron had told me, that what they were doing at USC, and they had the Reggie Bush, Lindale White.
Yep.
Okay, Harlem could play the Reggie Bush part, but they don't have a back like Lindale White. They don't have a big back like that. Man, no. Lindale was a big dude. Now, problem was sometimes Lindell would get a little bit too big.
He was doing Lindell stuff. I get yeah. it. I understand that. But you're right, though. They don't have that right now on the roster. However, I think that I don't know if that's the kind of, you know, 1-2 punch he's looking for. I don't know if – I think he's looking for a guy that can have it all in one, and then another couple guys that's either smaller or a little bit bigger, and then he can utilize them in certain situations. But, again, I don't know. I do know what I've seen in the past from Coach Kiffin is the fact that he's had a guy, and he's had another guy behind him.
He's been the workhorse.
And he called this guy the workhorse, and they may play 80% of everything. And then the second guy comes in and plays another 20% of the downs in a game, whatever that looks like. But I enjoy that. What look, I've got some backs that I played with. I played with a staple of backs, Kevin Falk, Rondell Mealy, Cecil Collins, and Kendall Cleveland, just to name a few, all played at the same time. And guess what? We featured one of them all the time. It was never this, you know, hey, you know, Kevin's going to go in the first two series and Rondell's going to go in the third series and then Kendall will go in the fourth series and Kevin will go back. It was never that. Whoever was the guy was the guy. The only time they came out is when, you know, they tapped their head saying, I'm tired. I need you to come in for a play or two. And that's it. And then if you notice, all of those guys, once you get into a rhythm as a running back, you can spark some really great things and make some stuff happen. You just get it.
Every back will tell you, man, it takes me 8 to 12 carries
right.
before everything starts rolling with me. How many of them guys do that today, though?
Not
it's
many.
Rare.
That's right.
It's now Lacy does.
Yes.
At
yes.
Ole Miss.
Yes.
He does. He getting that rhythm about midway into the second quarter.
Yeah. Well, against Tulane, he got a midway the first carry. It looked
he
like
got it midway into the first drive.
The first carry, right? Because the first carry went for 25, and the second went for 15 or something. And then, like, oh God, this is not good. But you're right, though, and I think that's what LSU's been missing. I know that's what they've been missing, but. It's the scheme. It's the offensive game plan. It's the whole thing that when Dan Brock left, I think that's what was the demise of our offense.
I agree with you. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Tracy Coley will join us to talk about LSU Lane Kiffin right after this break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Detail along with the legendary. Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit. It's got great food and drink specials here. Also, if you need catering done, if it's for the holiday season, if it's for weddings, anniversaries, you name it, get-togethers, Acme Oyster House can take care of all of your catering needs. On our talk and text line, we have on with us Tracy Coley. Tracy has been a regular here covering the LSU Tigers. Tracy, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Tracy, I know you spend a lot of time on social media. The one thing I do notice about the hiring of Lane Kiffin, there is no gray area. Either you like it
or you don't
like it.
That's right.
There is nothing in between with the bringing in of Lane Kiffin to LSU.
No, thanks for having me on, guys. No, it's exciting if you're an LSU fan, and it really sucks if you're an Ole Miss fan. So I find it fascinating to watch him troll all the Ole Miss people, and now they're all in a tizzy today because he's posting all these LSU pictures. So I think it's great. Obviously, when you have Lane Kiffin on your side, you're going to love it. When he's not on your side, you're not going to like it so much. So I think it's great. I think it's a great hire, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the portal come January 2nd.
Yeah, Tracy, that was going to be my next question. We've talked about it throughout this show, that's really LSU's signing period. Okay, the high school guys, and it was great, and they did really good along the defensive line. Now it's going to be the defensive line coaches,
yep.
In particular to – kind of upgrade their talent overall, but I think the portal, and for us on Sports Talk, and also, I mean, you do a lot of social media stuff, so, man, it's great. It gives us content for a couple weeks that we would have never had, and now with Kiffin, who is the king of the transfer portal, it'll be an interesting couple of weeks between the dysfunctional families of LSU and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of swapping going on coming up. But I think Lane and Billy really do have an evaluation process that they have honed in on. Last year, Ole Miss only spent between 10 and 12 million on players, and look where they are. So I really value that, and I think he has a plan of attack, and I think he's been evaluating LSU players, and that's why I think you see some LSU players already declaring for the portal. Because maybe their evaluations didn't come in as what they wanted or get the NIL that they wanted. I do think Lane has a plan and players that he likes. There is a guy that just, Xavier Chaplin, that just declared from Auburn. He could be a possibility. So there's a lot of guys out there that they could try to strengthen the O-line with. It does suck losing four out of your five starters. They had over 2,800 snaps total. But it just was obvious that was a need all year. And the evaluation of the previous staff may not have been on point. So I think LSU fans need to trust Lane's process. Let him develop, because Ole Miss does have a really good O-line this year. Let it play out and let's see what he does the first week of January.
I think a lot of people maybe kind of were surprised with the Frank Wilson situation. I think in there, you got to say, hey, I didn't bring Lane Kiffin in to make a decision fans and media liked.
Right.
I brought him in so what he wants to do. And so I think for a lot of people that startled them, because I think most people felt Frank would be a guy that would probably be hired by Lane Kiffin. But my thing is, if I'm taking over a company, I want to bring in the guys that I want to bring in. Now, I know that they've worked together, and I think that was a job offer out there, more in the recruiting side with Frank than being an on-field coach. But in this, if you're paying a coach that kind of money, and you've given him this much power, you've now got to let him kind of run his own show.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Frank has been an amazing staff member and coach for LSU and recruiter for LSU. That's obvious. The New Orleans area, he's like the godfather of Louisiana football, you know. And Ole Miss is likely going to steal a few from that. But I'm going to tell you, the lore of Lane Kiffin, what he can bring to the team, and obviously the NIL prospects, I think that's going to recruit itself. And I think LSU fans just need to be very patient, see what he does. But Frank's going to do well, but the proof is in the pudding. Look at what the running backs have been able to do at Ole Miss compared to that at LSU. Some of that is obviously the O-line, but it just hasn't been there collectively as a staff. And I think you have to look at the results of things and not the emotion of things right now.
Yeah, I think, too, is, and I'll get your take on this. I don't think you and I have talked about it, but the brand of LSU, when you look at it, not many schools can match.
No.
From player standpoint and what they've done, because if we're not thinking like 15 to 18-year-olds at this point. Okay, we're up in an age. We're getting upper in age than those younger people who grew up with an iPad, a cell phone, all their life. And they see the brand that LSU has done, if it's in Livy Dunn, in LSU Gymnastics, LSU Basketball with Flage and the group of people there involved. Yep. LSU Football, when you think about, you know, you turn on TV, Jaden Daniels is on.
That's right.
Joe Burrow's on. Jamar Chase, Jefferson. All those guys are there. And you can go kind of Mondo Duplantis. Not that Mondo has a bunch of commercials here in the United States. Go overseas. Mondo Duplantis and his old man, he talked more coon ass than I do. I mean, he got a flatter accent than I do. Well, he's from Southwest Louisiana. He's a Prairie Cajun. But he's got a bunch of commercials there in Europe. He's the greatest pole vaulter of all time. And then
from
you
LSU?
Look, when you turn on your TV, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark,
Booger McFarland.
Booger McFarland. Andrew Whitworth, Jen Hale, she didn't play, but she was an LSU cheerleader, and she's on Fox. Who is the biggest brand guy on social media? Lane Kiffin, if it's college football. Tracy, I do think that plays to a younger group of men and women, and for Lane, more certainly with men, on the part of trying to get them to go to LSU. But LSU's brand is unique. And that not many people, when they turn on, Shaq O'Neal, where that guy, where he went to school?
They ain't LSU. Guess. They already know where he
they
went.
They know.
Right.
And I think the brand part with Lane plays into a younger generation.
Absolutely. I would love to see the total numbers of social media at the end of 2026 after his first year. There's not going to be a sports reporter, College Game Day is going to be there as much as humanly possible at the LSU games. It is going to skyrocket this brand even further because he gets it. He gets the social media play in this. He gets kids to make money off of their brand. Livy Dunn is the first female athlete to make what she made in college sports history. So So, yes, there's precedent there. I think LSU's brand is going to take off even more, and that goes to all other sports. If you get LSU baseball, you know, you got Paul Skeens. They won the World Series two out of the last 3 years, producing Major League Baseball talent all over the place. You're going to put these all together. You have Kim with the female basketball team. It is awesome to see. It is a worldwide brand, and I can't wait to see what the social media numbers are after this season, because it is a thing. Kids want followers on their social media, and if you go to LSU and Lane Kiffin's your coach, you're going to get them. And that also brings in dollars. So it's not just about the notoriety with followers. It's about getting brand deals on your own. And I think that's a huge deal, and that's a play that he can play into the players he's trying to keep this year and retain. Tre'Davious Green, all these players that he's got to get to come back to help fulfill the needs of the team moving into 2026, plus add the portal guys.
So, Tracy, you know, we've been talking LSU brand. We've been talking LSU football tonight. I have a personal question for you. A week ago, there was a game that was played. And I know it's, you know, one of the teams you really, really like a lot. So did you, how sad was it for you to see Texas A&M lose to the Miami Hurricanes?
I have to say.
That was a setup, Tracy.
So, I love the question, first of all, because I have never cheered so loud for the Miami Hurricanes in my entire life. I scared my dog. When I got that interception, I was, I don't think there were more ecstatic fans for the Miami Hurricanes than the LSU Tiger fans here in
Texas.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
It was so gratifying to know 110,000 of them went home sad. Okay.
That's
I don't think there's one person that cried one tear over what happened to them. And you have heard crickets from them ever since on social media.
That's right. Look, Tracy, I cried tears of joy, just so you know, with you. I was just excited.
Tracy, we set you up there. But we all know you live kind of in the heart of where they got a lot of Aggie fans. And, boy, they thought they were rolling high and thought they caught maybe a Miami team that wasn't maybe what people were talking about. Miami did not play good on offense.
They did not.
And they dominated the game. Yep. They had a field goal kick, and it would have been even worse.
That's right.
I just hope Reed comes back next year, because there is going to be hell to pay when they play at Tiger Stadium next year with Lane Kiffin there. I'm telling you right now, bookmark it. I'm going to that game. I'm not missing that game. But it's going to be really exciting to see. And the funniest thing happened is that that game actually got LSU Lane Kiffin, and it's on the back of A&M. And I just can't wait till the tide turns again and we actually have a coach that cares about kicking their ass.
I love it.
All right, Tracy, you got to make me this deal. Next year when they play A&M, you coming back on to do the pregame.
I'll be there. Guarantee
all right.
Bookmark it.
Thank you, Tracy.
Done.
Always do a great job.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. And thanks so much. Tracy Kulik does a great job covering the LSU Tigers. And I think Tracy's on the verge of setting up a podcast for herself to talk college football. And she knows a lot about it. Put it to you this way. She doesn't do it for a living. But, man, she could. She knows, and she's opinionated. And I like that and when we have a guest. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating
That's
Show.
Right.
Mike DeTille along with the legendary.
It's legendary.
Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us.
Legendary.
Some of the games, we had talked a little bit about it earlier. Man, Penn State took the belt out 22-10 over Clemson. Boy, we talked about this, man. Clemson would be maybe in that title run this year.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way.
It was in the same title run LSU was in.
And
first
Penn
game
State
of the
season. Too.
Yep, Penn
State.
Penn State
too. But man, they put it out to them today, 22-10 in the Pinstripe Bowl. Army, we talked about it, 41-16 over UConn. East Carolina, and it's funny.
We had John Summerall on when he was at Tulane, and they were playing. Man, he talked about, man, they got a lot of talent at East Carolina. So, Mike, it's a young team, but, I really like what they're doing there. They beat Pitt today 23-17. North Texas with a 28-13 lead. It's about 10 minutes left in the second quarter over San Diego State.
Yep.
And in a wild game, BYU 25-21, they're in the final seconds of that game. So, man, BYU's bleeding a lot of crazy. Either they get blown out by Texas Tech or everything else is close.
Yeah, BYU is one of those teams where they're really good, but they're not. But they can be great, but they're almost, but they're not quite. But they always seem to play well. The coach always has them prepared.
Here's the thing with that point spread. Is either 4 or 3.5?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Are you sweating that one out?
Yeah.
If you got the 4, I think you'll be okay with that. 3.5, man, you lose that game, I'll be damned. How did that happen?
Now, look, don't be surprised if Coach Summerall goes and plucks a couple of those East Carolina players.
Yeah, the Pirate team. Yep. Yeah, because he really talked them up. Out of all the teams this year, other than, say, Ole Miss, man, he talked it up about East Carolina. I told that to Charlie. Man, he doesn't really talk up a team that much. He would maybe talk about individual players.
Yeah, but
man, he really went on and on and on about East Carolina, and they got to 9 wins and he's with that victory.
And he's a guy who knows his football.
John Summerall's going to win. I mean, a lot of Florida fans didn't like it. But, man, he's going to win, and he's going to win big for the Gators out in Gainesville.
Yep.
We'll be back with a little bit more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottie along with the legendary Herb Tyler right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dottie along with the legendary Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We stopping this here at 6:15. Our version up, then we'll throw it to the LSU Radio Network. And then 8:15 kickoff between the Houston Cougars and the LSU Tigers right here on the Big 870 WWL. Herb, this is our Keys to the Game segment.
All right.
To you by Hug and Hall Equipment Company. Yeah, 5 locations now in the state of Louisiana, been in business since 1956. Hug and Hall, the number one heavy equipment dealer in the states of Oklahoma, Arkansas, now right here in the state of Louisiana.
Yep.
Our Keys to the Game segment, Herb, again, we talk about it every week, but if they can't run the ball, you're putting your quarterback in a bad situation.
Tonight is the night. It's the night.
I done heard that before, but I'll let you say it one more time.
Tonight, the Tigers will run the football tonight. Now, how many yards they're going to run for, I don't know. It could be 12. It could be 1,200. We don't know. But I will tell you this, though. At the end of the day, if they don't run the football, I don't think we're going to be successful or as successful as we need to be. Because as you see, you know, we saw who was that? It was the Miami game against Texas A&M. They could not throw the football at all.
Nope.
The only thing they needed was – thank you. The only thing they needed was 2 drives where their running back just ran the ball really well, period. And so with that being said, I need one of the keys to the game for me is the run game, but it's also who's actually playing. And are they going to play with some fire? They're going to play with some desire. They're going to play with some spunk.
I hope
A little something.
I hope so.
And that's what we're looking forward to. And my other key to the game is just please do anything on offense other than what we did against Oklahoma. Anything matters to me. Just anything, please. Just throw the ball a little bit. Run the ball a little bit. Change up what the run game looks like. Do something. Get in the eye formation or a split back or something and you know, run some counters or doing some toss sweeps, something. Do something a little bit different than what they've been doing. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I think in this spot here, you look at it, Herb, I think that you got a situation where also you want to showcase your big-time players. And
yeah.
We saw it last year with Trey Des Green. I think tonight Harlan Berry would be one of those guys.
Yep.
I think Pickett on defense now. Yeah, Mansoor Delane, we ain't in the lineup no more.
Nope.
But all I know is that big corner, man.
He can make it happen.
He's a guy that's something special. So I think those two guys are two people to watch for. But it's the young kids getting an opportunity for the first time to get in there, to see extensive playing time.
Yep.
This is your opportunity now. You're not on off-Broadway no more.
Nope.
You center stage, and you got to make this work.
That's right. You're center stage, you got to make it work. You just got to play hard. Just be who you are. Don't try to play outside of that framework. And just enjoy the moment. You know, a lot of times we're always looking for the end result, and we don't ever actually enjoy the journey of what it took to us to get to the end result, whatever that is. Because if you don't do that, then you won't enjoy the fruits of your labor that you've accomplished. And I think that tonight's going to be a really good opportunity for those young cats to get out there and show and prove a little something. But with Tre'Davious Green, as far as that's concerned, we got to do something different than what we did against Oklahoma on offense. We got to be able to throw the football to him and get the ball to him. Now, he did have a couple drops, too. So, in that Oklahoma game, let's not forget this. They had
get the ball to him early.
Well, get the ball to anybody early.
Early in the game.
And let him get in that rhythm. Let him get comfortable in it. And, you know, they're playing in NRG Stadium, you know, where the Texans play and that kind of stuff. That's big time for a college football player to play in an NFL stadium on a stage where they're going to be in prime time tonight. So I think it'll be a great opportunity to showcase a lot of those guys' skills and also the coaching staff and whatever they can do.
On offense, I know we've talked so much about it, trying to run the football, and it's been a chore all season long.
Yep.
And if I'm Houston, I stack the line of scrimmage. I say, if you're going to throw it. But, my thing is I have no fear of your running game here at this point. I have no fear of that particular deal.
No, I have no fear of your running game, and I also have no fear that you're going to be creative in the passing game to do anything different than what you've done. I just don't see it. And so I can cover you in the back end, but I can also stack the line of scrimmage and make sure you don't run the ball and get any creases. One of the biggest things that's the difference of why I think Coach Frank is not going to retain his position at LSU is because of the lack of development of those running backs. And yes, it kind of goes hand in hand with the offensive line, but however, you really didn't see, other than Caden Durham, he was the only guy that really just had natural ability to burst through the line, right, and just find a hole, increase it, and go. Everybody else, I mean, we couldn't even get Caleb Jackson to get going at all. And he's one of the, in my opinion, he's probably one of the best backs in the country. He just never had the confidence to do it. And why is that? It's a lack of the development is what I think.
Okay, the thing with Caleb is, okay, hometown guy.
Yep.
He's right there in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And as a freshman, you saw a little bit here
flashes,
and there with
him.
But then, like, he's been in the Witness Protection Agency for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Again, their usage of backs, to me, has been puzzling, and their lack of a running game based off of what Kelly did in his past is the biggest shock in the Brian Kelly time frame.
100%.
Because that's not how he won.
No.
He won running the ball
up front
at Notre Dame,
yep,
and at Cincinnati. Wherever he was,
yep,
man, they beat you up up front.
Up front, that's where he beat you at, and then he had a running back to tote the rock and make it happen and do things. And then he also had a good quarterback and a good scheme around the quarterback for that quarterback to be successful in getting the ball out of his hands quickly and also throwing the ball down the field a little bit. So it was all shocking to us. But Tracy mentioned it, and she said it. That Texas A&M game, second half of that game, is really what was the demise and the fall of Brian Kelly. The first half of that game, he had an opportunity.
LSU dominated that, and they had
and we didn't score any points.
More points.
That's right, and we didn't score any points. And with that being said, that was it. And so the final straw was the final straw. And I feel like all the things we're talking about was the accumulation to what ended up happening and why LSU wasn't successful. Because the brand of LSU, when LSU brand is up, everybody's up. I mean, across the world, not just the country, across the world. Everybody knows that LSU brand.
That was our Keys to the Game segment brought to you by Hug and Hall Equipment Company. Been in business since 1956. 5 locations here in the state of Louisiana. They've been in business since 1956. The number one kind of big hauler of equipment,
yep,
and fixing up stuff all across Oklahoma and also Arkansas, now here in the state of Louisiana. Herb, been great working with you this year.
Yes, sir,
and,
as always.
Want to thank everybody here at Acme Oyster House.
Acme's
they
the
do
best.
A great job taking care of us each and every week. We're going to throw it to the LSU Radio Network with more Tiger football right here on the Big 870 WWL.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work.
It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.